Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Hey, yo, 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 mic check, 1, 2, episode 143, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we about to get busy. How you been, Josh?
I'm cooling, man. I started this joint, I think you put me onto it a while back, Man Like Mo Bean.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I finished that this weekend because I started like a couple episodes a while ago, then watched like a couple more, and then like this weekend I like finished out. It's 3 seasons on Netflix.
Great fucking show.
Yeah, amazing show. Yeah. I love it. Like, I love that it's like a different perspective of like British life that we don't necessarily always get.
Yeah, I heard somebody when it first came out, I heard somebody describe it as Donald Glover's Atlanta if it were based in England with like brown people, like
yeah,
young brown folks in England. I don't think that's exactly an accurate description of the show. It's very much its own unique thing.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it's as surreal as Atlanta can be.
Yeah.
I think it's not like it's not a takedown. Essentially, like People Just Do Nothing. If people watch People Just Do Nothing, People Just Do Nothing is like it's Office in the sense of like it's super cringeworthy because these dudes are idiots and they just don't realize.
Right. Right.
Man Like Mo Bean is a lot more heartwarming, and it's about a Muslim brother who I think he's from Pakistan. Mm-hmm. I think from Pakistan, right? The subtitles will like have you all because they'll be like, you know, he's speaking Hindu, he's speaking this, like, you know what I mean. The subtitles, like when they start speaking in another language, will like be all over the place. But like he's raising his little sister. He's like he used to be a roadman,
black,
yeah. And now he's like, you know, now he's taking care of his like 15-year-old sister or whatever.
The most adorable kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, she's awesome. And like he's got his 2 homies with him, the dude Nate, who's a African brother, and 8, who is, you know, shout out to him, but my man definitely was dropped on his head a bunch of times as a baby. Oh, yeah. But no, it's great though. Like, and like, it's just little intricacies of like their world, but like a bigger world as well. You know, it's looking at like immigration and like certain ideas that like, you know, are specific to England, but not like, you know
right.
what I mean?
Right. Specific, but kind of universal.
Yeah.
It opens with, if I'm not mistaken, like season 1, opens with them being harassed by the police.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It like they drop you right in, like, yo, this world that you're living in, you're following around like these young, like funny, smart young people, but also it's a racist world and like a hostile, aggressive world. Like they immediately bring you into that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and it progressively gets more like dramatic as the seasons go by.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, you're constantly living in this like, because like, if, like you said, the first episode is like, yo, they're gonna lock up Mo Bean, and like Mo Bean's his sister's caretaker. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like he's
yeah. So, like you're always on that edge, and it's always like, you know, you're one step away, because he's like, you know, there's an episode, I think it's season 2, where his sister is going to like her prom or whatever, and like there's been a bunch of stabbings in the area, and so like the police officer will tell him, like, yo, you want to do something, talk to these youths, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And get them to stop stabbing motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And like, he stops some dude who has like a crush on his little sister. He stops that dude, like, getting ready to go, like, shank somebody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But then, like, as he takes the gun away, like, I mean, takes the dude had a sword and shit. If he take, when he takes that away, like, all of a sudden the cops is getting ready to roll up, and he's like, yo, like, you know what I mean?
Like, it ain't me.
Yeah. So there's a lot of shit like that, but it's an excellent show, man. Like, yeah. excellent show.
And like, Mobeam, yeah. If y'all haven't seen it, definitely find it. It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Yeah. That's why I watch it. Great. Yeah, it's excellent. You know, I binged like that the other day. Mm-hmm. I've been kind of like, this been a, like a low key week for me. You know what I mean? Not been too crazy.
Yeah, it's been interesting over here because Liz is starting to like venture back outside. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like she just left. You know what I mean? She's like hanging with her homie. I have not been venturing outside. I went to the bank on Friday, and there's a Mexican grocer that's right across the way from the bank. So I went in there and grabbed some produce and stuff. But I've been in the crib. I've been writing, mixing this album, and watching alien invasion movies back to fucking back. Dog, I just watched, right before we got on this call, I was watching Battle Los Angeles.
Yeah, I've seen
you
that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Neo's in it. Like, they're like Marines and shooting at these fucking aliens. Yeah, so I've watched three alien movies just today. And it's like Sunday is like about to be 7 o'clock, so like I got up and just threw on the alien joint. So that's been really like my wave. I've been like, you know, taking little walks here and there, but really just, you know, around the block and chilling in the crib, writing and watching fucking alien invasions. I feel like partially because I asked myself this morning, I was like, why are you really into alien invasion shit right now? I think it's because they're outside. Everybody's working together and they're triumphing over a powerful adversary.
Yeah, so like the opposite of what's happening now.
Exactly.
I think the complete opposite.
I think that was my assessment that I made, because I try to critically ask myself, like, why am I into a thing? You know what I mean? Like, why do I just want to listen to jazz from a particular area and time frame? You know what I mean? I try to like critically engage my own tastes, and I asked myself, I was like, why am I watching just like I've probably watched this week close to a dozen films and shows just on alien invasions.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And I think it is that. I think it's like, it's the opposite. It's watching humans do the opposite of what's happening now. I guess the with the protests, it's kind of the same thing. People outside and engaging.
Coming together
to engage really what's like an existential threat. And now that we're even talking about this shit, I haven't gone to any actions since George Floyd was killed. Because I don't know, you know, I'm frankly, I'm scary about my immune system.
Since the shit, understand,
you know, from 2 years ago. So maybe that's part of it, too. Maybe on a subconscious level, I like, you know, it's a big thing about them being outside and fighting. You know what I mean? That makes me want to, like, the Battle of Los Angeles shit was perfect. You know what I mean?
And
it hit right where, because there's been alien invasion movies that I've come across this week, and I watch like the first 5 minutes of it, but then I realize they're just in a cabin. I don't want to watch that. Or they're just in one room. You know what I mean? It's like, nah, I want niggas like running around the city. You know what I mean? Fighting these fucking monsters. So that's been my week, dog. I've been working on working with a company that's putting out a travel book. So I've been writing some stuff about Philadelphia's history for them. So that's really, my whole week has been like writing and alien movies.
Yeah. Yeah, today was the North London Derby.
Word.
And fucking Arsenal lost to Tottenham.
Seems like Arsenal loses a lot. You know what I mean? I don't know anything about soccer, but it seems like we've had many.
They had a four game run where they won. They had like a four game run where they were like doing good, and then like fucking the last two, and today, like, I mean, it's all the same shit. It's fucking terrible defense. Fucking David Luiz, fucking, oh god, dog, they just signed him to a fucking extension too. Fucking asshole. But you know, it's cool. You know, it is what it is. We'll catch Tottenham, we'll finish above them. That's what matters. But yeah, man, I think I was telling you before we got on, like, you know, definitely, man, thinking about, you might want to think about grabbing you a club in the Premier League, because yeah. I don't know if we're going to have any real sports happening here.
America, so. I feel like that's part of the way we could get niggas to, like, wear masks and social distance. Like, if the president went on TV, it'd be like, hey, y'all motherfuckers want sports again?
Yeah, exactly.
Get your monkey ass back in the house. You know what I mean? So we can, but Trump's an idiot, so he, you know, any helpful solution, he'll do the opposite.
Exactly. You know? I mean, he's talking about defunding schools if they don't open up in the fall and shit. So
he's a fucking moron. You know how many how many kids are going to carry that shit back to their parents and grandparents?
Well, I saw somebody break down the numbers. You know, I don't know how accurate these numbers are, but like, just frightening at the idea that like the number of kids at the death rate being at what it is right now.
Jesus.
It would be like 63,000 kids dead.
What?
Like, if you just like did the numbers or whatever, it'd be like, is that worth?
Yeah.
The other, you know, the millions that would go back to school.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but I mean, this country doesn't give a shit about, like, excuse me. They let like toddlers get killed in upstate New York or whatever through gun violence, and like no gun laws change. Right. So what the fuck? Like, they don't care.
They definitely,
like,
don't,
you know,
give
what
a shit
I mean?
About, you know, this infectious disease.
Yeah, like there's definitely, like, well, I mean, like, the word was like from out of like the cabinet, from like people inside the cabinet, it was like Trump is essentially on some shit where he's like, you know, people will just get used to it. Like, they'll get used to like thousands dying.
Yeah. And the fucked up thing about that is he might not be wrong.
Oh, no, he's not. Yeah. I mean, like, we've already reached that state essentially.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're in a state right now where it's like people talk like, yo, I get depressed looking at some of my IG stories. Like, I see people that I follow on IG and they're just like out in like super crowded areas with a mask, or even if they don't have a mask on, or even if they do have a mask on, excuse me, they're fucking like so close to people, man. There's no social distancing, like nothing is happening where you're like, yo, you don't realize, man, like we are never going to reopen doing this kind of shit.
I've seen motherfuckers, like, as soon as Philadelphia moved into yellow or whatever it was, dog, I seen motherfuckers at the function. I'm like, how are these venues even open?
Yeah, people just essentially treated like, yo, we did it for 3 months, now it's over with. Like, I'm not going to do this forever.
Dog,
I didn't want to cut you off.
I was just going to say, like, I was talking with my man Lean with it. Shout out to Lean on Twitter the other day. And I was like, dog, I don't give a fuck. I'm not DJing nowhere. I'm not DJing nowhere. Y'all motherfuckers can offer and beat up my inbox. I've had a couple people hitting me. I'm not spinning nowhere. I will sit in the crib.
It's not worth it.
You know what I mean? Had these motherfuckers ding my account for these articles, and that's it. I'm not going out spinning and fucking around with this shit.
Nah. I mean, I saw something going around on Twitter where it was like, you know, Japan never went into a quarantine and their economy didn't crash. But that's because, and there's only like, there's very few cases there. And part of that is because mask wearing is cultural practice there.
It's already a thing.
Yeah. And you look at like what we're dealing with here, where it's just like, yo, people are like having to get their ass beat in a market because they don't want to wear a fucking mask.
What the fuck?
Like, did you see that video of the lady like on some straight like Evil Dead shit where she was like ramming her body into a fucking the door of the restaurant and like licking the glass?
Yeah.
Like, are you serious? Like, we are living in a fucking pandemic and people are just like, yo, I'm not gonna wear a mask because it violates my rights.
Right. Americans will definitely shoot themselves in the foot. I mean, you know, you brought up the school shootings. Literally a case of Americans not valuing life over this abstract idea of rights, which is really because Americans really are okay with the violation of rights. The police do it every day. The military does it around the world every day. Americans are fine with rights being violated. Americans are also culturally teenagers. You know what I mean? We have this idea that, you know, you can't tell, you're not the boss of me. You know what I'm saying? It's like this cultural thread that runs through how we conduct civic life. And it's like how a teenager talks and behaves. You know what I mean? It's not really about, you know, real like anti-authoritarianism. It's not really about, you know, really maintaining rights. It's just you don't get to tell me what to do over shit that doesn't even matter. You know what I mean? Yeah. Wearing a fucking mask, you know, people are saying I'm up and down about the whole breathing thing because I know when I'm walking with a mask, I've had like, you know, a couple years ago, one of my lungs had collapsed when I'm and my breathing never really got back to like 100%. So sometimes when I'm walking with a mask, I have to pull it down. So I get that part, but I feel like people are capping with this whole they can't breathe in the mask and all of this shit. I really think it comes down to not having somebody tell you what to do.
Yeah.
Which is really like a childish way to go through life. I understand, you know, being like rebellious and shit, but like you're rebelling against what? Protection from a disease?
Yeah, you're rebelling against like us ever going back to any kind of sense of real normalcy.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to wear a mask. Like, all right, I get the idea that like, yo, I don't want to wear a mask for 8 hours in an office. Okay, I understand that sucks. I mean, granted, my mom's a nurse and she does it all the time. Allie is a fucking nurse and she does it for 12-hour shifts. Yeah. Like, you know, and also shout out to her. It's our birthday, so shout out to her. But it's, you know, they do it all the time on fucking at a job. Like, and they do it, and it's not like, you know, the world hasn't ended. You know what I mean? But I get, like, being like, fuck, I don't want to wear a mask for, like, 8 hours a day. Yeah. It sucks. If you're going to run into, like, Walmart, wear a fucking mask. Like, you're going to be in there for, like, an hour. Like, right. Wear a fucking mask.
Right.
It's not that big a deal. You know what I mean? Like, it sucks. I don't like wearing them. And, you know, because my nose is all fucked, like, I breathe through my mouth. So there's a lot of times where I'm breathing and the mask gets like sucked back into my mouth. So it's constantly a thing of me fixing the mask to get it out of my mouth as I'm breathing.
Yeah.
It sucks. But you know what? Like, I don't want the disease because I have asthma. Like, I don't want fucking any kind of other breathing issues. Nah. And I remember being a kid and going into like having a really bad asthma attack one time and having to spend a week in the hospital in an oxygen tank.
Jesus. Yeah.
It's fucking not fun. Right. Like, you know what I mean? And like, I can only heard how worse this shit is.
I was going to say, I've seen people, we should hop out to a break.
Yeah. We should get to a break.
Yeah. I've seen people up close on respirators. You don't want that shit. No machine.
Oh, man.
Like forcing your lungs to breathe. You do not want that.
Nah, I'm good, man. Like, I don't want any of those issues. I'm wearing a mask, man. Like, you know what I mean? And it's not that big a deal. Just fucking wear it, dude. Seriously.
I've been staying in the crib. When we do go for our little walks and shit, mask up.
Yeah. You know, I stopped at the mall the other day to grab something, and people were just like walking around, and they'd have their mask on, but it was like pulled down to like below their bottom lip. I'm like, you're defeating the purpose. Like, why? They're taking the fuck off at that point. Like, you know what I mean? What are you doing?
Seen a dude have one in his hand. I'm like, beloved, you missing the point of that shit.
Yeah.
You know what
like
I mean?
Your hand.
You keep a condom in your shoe? Like, what the fuck?
Exactly. Like, you know what I mean? But, you know, it is what it is. But, yo, yeah, we should hop out to a break.
Boom, back in effect. So yeah, this is an interesting turn of events for the past couple years now. Talib Kweli and Yasin Bey have been teasing the fact that there's a Madlib produced Black Star album that's, you know, been lying in wait for a while. And recently, I want to say the tail end of this week, if not the top of this week, it might have been the top of this week, Talib Kweli, who's the master of Twitter, as we're seeing.
Yes.
With all his other shit that's going on. He came on Twitter and he said that the Black Star Madlib album is not going to see the light of day. He said, quote, "It's in God's hands."
Yeah.
Which, you know, motherfuckers are super excited about this, and they have been, and you know when it come out it'll sell like hotcakes.
Yeah.
Cause if motherfuckers are like fucking with Madlib and Freddie Gibbs like that, Madlib and Black Star, that shit is out of here. So you know there's gotta be some fucked up shit behind the scenes make him basically be like, yo, I'm washing my hands of this thing, it's never gonna come out.
Yeah. And apparently, you know, he went on to be like, you know, it's motherfuckers that's culture vultures and people that ain't never contributed to this culture in any type of way, never made a beat, never wrote a rhyme. So you know, it's hinting at like some shit behind the scenes. He was like, you know, he put all his own money into this. Like, I paid for this to get done. Mm-hmm. Which sucks. I don't understand how that, like, you know, you couldn't find some label to, like, you know what I mean, to get y'all some money for that. But, you know, it is what it is.
How about that?
I also wonder, like, at that point, if you've done all that with your money, like, you essentially own that shit. You know what I mean?
This is the thing.
Again, you know, funny money practices, and like, you know, if y'all was like, y'all went into this as like, yo, we're gonna do this project together, and there's no paperwork.
Who knows that there's paperwork associated with it? Also, you know, you can't, like, he can finance a project, but you know, if it's to be released, Madlib has to sign off on the masters that he produced, and B, the publishing for the music that he composed. So he has to, like, long story short, like, niggas was speculating that Madlib's manager, Egon, who used to work with Madlib at Stone's Throw, now, you know, they're separated from Stone's Throw, and Egon is Madlib's manager. Cats are saying, I don't think Kweli, I feel like Kweli kind of like tipped his hat when niggas was saying it. Like, yo, it's Egon. Egon is the one that's blocking it. Apparently, Egon is the one who's blocking this thing and not letting them get a deal done, because all three parties have to sign off on some shit like this.
Yes.
And I saw a lot of confusion. Cats were in, they were like, yo, well, if you paid for this shit, you know, why it can't just come out? And it's like, it's not that simple. You can pay for recording
when I first
sessions.
When I first saw the Kweli tweets of being like, look, I did what I could, it's in God's hands now. You know who I went to. I was like, what if that's most?
That's, you know, I didn't think that. When he okay. started talking about like culture vultures, Kweli would never.
Well, that was
He would never. That
was that's what tipped me to something else. When I first heard, when I first saw people talking about it, and they were saying like, "Yeah, he's saying he flew all over the place." I was like, I wanted to. I mean, because you know, shout out to Yasin. He's been known to be flaky. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
He has that reputation. So, I don't know if it's accurate, but he has that reputation.
Yes. So like, I was like, yo, I'm not. You know, I thought like, oh man, I wonder if it's most just like holding shit up, like not finishing. But then when I saw like, you know, he was like, yo, the album's finished, blah, blah, blah. When I saw the actual tweets and it was like, yo, culture, I was like, well, he's definitely not talking about most, because right. he would never call most a culture vulture. Right. So that wasn't what I was like, oh shit, it's got to be something else. And then it was, you know, then when I was reading into it, it was like, yo, people think it's Egon.
Yeah. I think I'm fucked up because like, when he said it, I just assumed it was some white man somewhere. this seems like we can't get a new. We got Black Lives Matter. We got protests around the world. We can't get a new Black Star album. It's got to be the white man.
Yeah, somebody saw. You know, listen. Yeah, I thought like when I first saw it, I didn't see the tweets. I just saw people talking about it and saying like, I guess we're not getting this Black Star album. I was like. Okay, most, like, you know what I mean? Because I just know, like, he's had a history of being flaky with stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, listen, there's still a fucking a Mos Def and Manny Fresh album out there somewhere that's never seen the light of day. No. So I wonder, so I was like, oh, shit. But then when I saw, like, what the tweets were, I was like, oh, it's definitely not Mos when he's talking about this.
And they be the ones, yo. I feel like, with all of this like activity post George Floyd being killed, a lot of shit is being called into question. And I'm seeing a lot of people really talk about and revisit this notion of like culture vultures and really how much of hip hop economically is controlled by white people. And I don't even mean just on the major label level, even in the underground, a lot of these motherfuckers. I saw a conversation on Twitter. I can't think of the one brother's name that was going back and forth with like a European guy who ran a label. Even on the underground level, like these cats who are putting out vinyl and shit, a lot of that is like white guys that are putting up the money for it, and a lot of the artists don't feel like they're getting their just due or justly compensated. So I think that in this moment, while we're reevaluating all of this stuff, that's another thing we need to talk about, just how much of black art has been traditionally controlled by white people and how much it remains to this day.
It's gatekeepers.
Yeah, 100%.
One quick scene before I get more into the gatekeeper thing. Remember the scene in Atlanta when Donald Glover's talking, when fucking Darius needs to get his passport like right away, mm-hmm. right? So they go check out these dudes and they're like Hasidic Jews.
Yeah.
And Donald Glover asked the boy like, yo, do you think, because I think his brother was like in, like the dude's brother was in music or something like that. The Hasidic Jew mm-hmm. dude's brother was in music. And he was like a manager. And he was like, you know, do you think like a black dude could be as good as a manager as like your brother is? And he was like, yeah, sure. Like, you know what I mean? He said the difference is like the connections my brother has.
Yeah.
And like that is an issue because of gatekeeping. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I posted something on our social medias a while back about like the numbers of like people of color inside like different facets of the world, yeah. right? The number of people of color that are involved in entertainment, like the heads of networks and like movie studios and all that mm-hmm. shit, was less than the number of people of color inside Trump's administration.
It's crazy.
And like you were like, when you saw, you like said like, yo, that's fucking insane. Like, you know what I mean?
For as that, liberal as Hollywood claims to
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, it's, I mean, a lot of it is so much of an old boys network.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a situation where like they hold the keys for like so much shit to get made.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to sell shit. I mean, like Donald Glover's talked about like selling Atlanta on something that was selling FX on something that did not was not what they were going to make.
Right.
Because if he would have came in there and said, yo, I'm going to make this super like esoteric, surreal show about a rapper, like they'd have been like, what? Yeah, like,
what
no.
What the fuck is this? Yeah.
Yeah, if they would, if he would have came in and said like, "Yo, I'm gonna do an episode where a dude is a young black dude is gonna be wants to be a young white dude,"
right?
And they'd have been like, "Are you
invisible
no?
cars?" And
yeah, yeah, exactly.
An alligator, yeah.
They're, you're not gonna get any of that. Like the whole second season opens up with like nobody who's in the main cast, and they're robbing like a drug spot that's like. A front from a fucking fast food joint, and like if you would have like tried to push that through, like if he tried to sell them on that idea, no one would have went with it. Like, you know what I mean? Because so many gatekeepers, and a large part of this too is, and we've bumped heads with this and stuff. What we're doing, right? The people who write the checks. Are not creative people. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to sell non-creative people on these like big grand ideas, and they ain't the one who's going to like they're not creative, so they don't think that way. Their bottom line is, can we make money off this?
Like, oh yeah, this is a cool idea, but does it earn?
Yes. Yeah. So when you mix that with also like even in like quote unquote liberal Hollywood, the undertones of racism that exist regardless.
Oh yeah.
You're gonna not get those same kind of projects greenlit, these same kind of ideas where like you people have power and this is their one they aren't creative people, and so this is their one shot at actually having any kind of power over anything.
Yeah, and I think that even like with taking it back to the music and hip hop, I think that also that dynamic of like who gets to co-sign something or quote unquote green light something that comes out, I think it plays out also in the political dynamics of the music. If you have a young rapper who's talking about racism, who's talking about that stuff's, you know, I feel like a lot of people are going to get signed off of like doing content about racism in this moment, you know what I mean? But
yes,
I
feel in this climate.
Yeah, like generally beforehand, a lot of rap music has been purposefully depoliticized, I think, frankly, because white people can't deal with the political content, like a radical political content coming from black people. I think that groups like Public Enemy are outliers in that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think sometimes we think of the golden era of hip hop and the political content in it, and we think that that was like the rule. But I feel like industry wise, that shit was like the outlier shit that kind of got through. And I think that, I mean, we see it now where we see older white folks who grew up on like Rage Against the Machine, stuff like that, or people like our age who grew up on that stuff, and they're like, oh, I didn't pay attention to the politics.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? The Sway's DJ, white guy, DJ Wonder, that people have accused of being MAGA, he said it flat out. He was like, I've never really been comfortable with the political content of rap. You know what I mean? Which is like, that's like saying, you know, I eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, I don't like peanut butter. You know what I mean? I don't like peanuts. You know what I'm saying? Something that's like essential to the thing. And I think that a lot of times who gets deals is deeply political, is deeply racial, you know what I mean? And anything else that you can think of is definitely not a meritocracy. And as we've seen in the case with the Black Star record, as it appears, I don't want to throw this on Egon if it ain't him, but as it appears, it's literally all it takes is like one white guy to put the kibosh on
the whole
negotiation, which, you know, and block something. I don't know what the shit sound like, but the shit could be a classic for the culture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I know Quali is coming with it on the mic. I know Mose is coming with it on the mic. Madlib's a genius on the beats. This is something that the culture wants. And really, all it takes, think about like yourself as a man of color, how many things you've blocked from coming out into the world. Ain't a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Shit kind of happens to us. But in this case, really, it seems like all it takes is one white guy to be like, you know, oh, you know, we're not getting enough money. We're not getting a big enough slice of this deal or whatever. And then we don't get music that we want. And I think that it speaks to a larger problem in music. And like you said, in Hollywood and in all of these entertainment sectors that we generally think of as liberal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a big issue with gatekeepers in a more roundabout area, all the way in every aspect of life. I think I don't remember what day it was. A couple days ago, your partner Liz, shout out to Liz. She wrote like, you know, she posted a tweet where it was like, I see more, you know, dogs in y'all employee list than people of color.
Yeah. Meet our team. It'd yeah, like five dogs in them joints. You know what I'm saying? No black people.
You know, that's a real, like a real issue and a real thing.
Yeah.
You go look at like these areas and you know, you see like, you know, who on, like you look at a lot of these TV shows, like who's in y'all writer's room?
Mm-hmm.
Who, like, you know, y'all doing a TV show about, you know, fucking black folks and like everybody go grabs Greg Fitzsimmons.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like he's doing it. Like you go look at like, go pull up like Greg Fitzsimmons IMDb.
Yeah.
He's written on like every like quote unquote black show. He's like the go-to white dude. They get to do these different things. And it's like,
that's so crazy.
Louis C.K. used to be one of them too. Like he wrote on a lot of black TV shows.
Fucking
too.
Booty Tang. That's why he think he got it right. You know what I mean? That's why, I mean, he's white in the world. But, like, also, I think that's why he think he, you know, could take liberties.
Yeah, he's a, but, so, like, there's these aspects of gatekeeping, I think, in every area. Like, you get it in politics. You get it in these regular fucking ass jobs. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, I can't tell you how many jobs I went to. One job I went to and was interviewed by a person, like a black person. Mm-hmm.
That shit's rare. That's rare.
Yeah. And it was Polo. When I worked for Polo years and years and years and years and years ago, I was interviewed by a black person. No other time. I think it was Julia. I'm still like Facebook friends with her to this mm-hmm. day. She's an awesome person. No, actually, I think I was interviewed by her and I was interviewed by Aaron, who became the store manager of the place I worked at because they were opening a different store. Yeah. And Aaron is a good dude. Like, you know, they're actually married at this point, him and Julia. And they're...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was dope. Like, awesome. But they're... they were... I think that's the only job I've ever been to where I was interviewed by a black person.
Oh, shit. Wow.
And I've had trust and believe, like mm-hmm. I've had about a million jobs. So I when you're trying to get into all these places, I mean, that's when you get into these different arenas of like code switching and yes. shit like that, because you're like, yo, I gotta do this. I gotta do the dance to be able to get in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which is insane. Imagine, like, you know, there's a certain degree of quote unquote professionalism that all workers have to adhere to, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, if you're a white person listening to this, I couldn't imagine why. But if you're a white person listening to this, imagine the tone of your voice and the grammar that you use and the enunciation, even the core of what makes, you know, your voice and your way of communicating. Imagine 8 hours a day having to contort that in order for it to be acceptable in a professional situation.
Yeah, it's
like, just like, think about how heavy that is and how much added weight it would bring to your work day. Emotional weight that brings, having to just talk different for 8 hours a day, every single day.
Yeah, you're not, how you walk, talk, and act is not deemed appropriate.
Yeah.
And you need to constantly change that, merely for the fact that, like, we live in a world that is so one other way. Like, you know what I mean? Dude, it's such an emotional toll it takes on people to just not, like, it was one of the only good things that came from my old job was that I was by myself all the time and I never had to be different. Like, I could always be just myself. Rock out, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? I never had, but like, they wouldn't like that if I was like interacting with like contractors and shit like that. But, you know, I didn't really have to do that kind of shit because of the shift I worked, and the people that I ran into most of the time on that shift were, you know, more in line with me.
Right.
But like, I would see it, you'd see it even in like shit like that where you'd bump into crews and it's like the only like foreman you'd bump into were like, you bump into some younger black foreman now, because so many of the older white dudes at these jobs were retiring. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like 10 years ago or so, it wasn't like that. It wasn't until a lot of these jobs started forcing retirement on a lot of these older dudes. Mm-hmm. But back then, you'd run into crews that were just all white dudes or like definitely run by white dudes.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it just the idea, like, I didn't think about that till we just having this conversation, but I was like, I don't think I've ever been interviewed by a black person except for that one job.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. It's been rare. It's been rare. I've been interviewed by white people to work in my own black ass neighborhood. Yeah. The neighborhood I grew up in. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's definitely like a rare thing for like the black person to be the one that gets you in. That's why at my last 9-to-5, I worked at the co-op, I would volunteer to interview folks.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like I had been there for years, you know what I mean? I had already had management experience before. I wasn't a manager there, but I had management experience elsewhere. So, yeah, when it came down to it, like toward the end of me being there, I would volunteer to go interview motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Because I felt that black people inherently didn't get a fair shake. And then even when black folks, like, it was one, even when black folks would get hired, they wouldn't get a fair shake. It was a brother who used to work with us that I felt like white people were uncomfortable around him because he didn't code switch. You know what I'm saying? Like, he would talk. He was from Southwest. He would talk like he talked. And if I felt like the uncomfortableness off of my white coworkers, you know what I'm saying? Which is like bugged out to me. You know what I mean? People, I'd like to think that I take people as they come. If you got a country ass accent, or, you know, you got a whatever, mid-Atlantic, northeast accent, whatever, you know what I mean? I take you as you come, but it feels like there's a level of uncomfortableness that comes along with black folks talking like black folks talk, or, you know, with people who speak Spanish, who are brown and speak Spanish, speaking Spanish in public places. It seems like there's all of these little things that could be just arbitrary cultural things turn into ways to gatekeep and ways to hold power.
Yeah. I think one thing we have to take note in this moment that we're living through right now with so much essentially revolution going on where we're demanding certain things change. I think one of the biggest things we have to like incorporate, and I think this has been going on, I've seen this discussion way more than I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But the idea that like we need to break the barrier of who's the gatekeeper, who's the one holding the keys. Right. And I think that's an extremely important conversation that needs to continue to be brought up and like hammered. You know what I mean? I think we should take a quick break. And when we get back, we can talk a little bit about T.I. and 50 and their proposed versus battle.
Boom, back in effect. So apparently T.I. wants to battle 50 Cent. They want to do a versus battle, which totally makes sense. If I were, you know, a celebrity on their level, I would absolutely want to do that. You got millions of people's eyes on you at a moment. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, that shit's probably driving up them streaming numbers.
Yes, definitely.
So, yeah, it absolutely makes sense that T.I. wants to do this. I stopped trying to predict these shits because I was telling niggas that Teddy Riley was going to watch Babyface. I was legit on the internet saying that. Like, man, Teddy, all the records Teddy Riley did, man, he finna watch Babyface. Babyface, sleepy ass, romantic silk music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was convinced. So I've stopped trying to predict these things. I do feel like if they were to do it, which I hope they do, T.I. feel like his music works better for the moment.
Yeah,
and
probably.
I think he's gonna take it because of that.
I know originally, like T.I. said, he wants to battle Jay-Z, but he knows Jay-Z won't do it.
Don't do that, because
yeah, I was about to say like
gonna smoke you. You and 50. That's a good clash.
Even Hov sound
smoking everybody.
Sound wise of a time, you know what I mean? Like, you guys fit pretty good together. Dog, you don't want none of that Jay-Z smoke. Like, listen, I like some of T.I. songs.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, there's not, like, we talked about this before. There's only, like, two or three guys who can even hold a candle to Jay. So, no, I agree with you. I also think, I think you would break down a lot regionally.
Oh, 100%.
Especially
the niggas with the bootcut jeans from up here, they riding with 50.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. If you ever own like a G Unit tank top, you're probably not, you know what I mean, hopping off 50.
Nah.
I'd be interested to see what certain stuff plays, because what I found too is like even with like smaller stuff, what regionally is really important to some people isn't regionally as important to others. A lot of people, shout out to Freeway, a lot of people, like, if you say Freeway, one of the first things people think about here is What We Do.
Mm-hmm.
In a bunch of other states, it's not like that.
Yeah, it might be like Rock the Mic.
Flipside. Yeah. Like, that's what people are going to think of first.
Yeah, if you have a city or a region that's warm all year round, it's a cold winter.
Yeah.
That's not going to resonate with y'all.
Yeah, don't ring off the same. Yeah. I think, you know, but if you do that in like a bar here in Philly, you throw that record on, the bar, like, people stop what they're doing to sing the lyrics word for word for that song.
100%.
So, I mean, like, so I wonder, like, what T.I. may play, because it ran down south, but might not have necessarily got the same play nationwide, and definitely not, like, here. You know what I mean? The one big advantage I think 50 would have is that New York thing has been pushed everywhere.
Mm, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he shit rung off, you know, in different areas.
Yeah,
not,
he was
not the same as T.I. would in the South.
No.
But, you know.
The one, two, like, I mean, T.I. was huge, but 50 yeah. Cent was the biggest artist in hip hop for a while.
Period. Yeah. It was no, like, yeah. It was so crazy, too, because M had just went crazy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That late 90s to early 2000s, M was like out of here. And 50 came right behind it. It was like having, I don't know baseball, but like you got Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey on the same team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was real crazy. But 50, yeah, he was like the biggest thing out at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a when and listen, now maybe down south this is completely different because mm-hmm. like maybe when like T.I. dropped one of his albums, like maybe like the one with the Rubber Band Man joint on it, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that shit was in every car.
Right, right.
When 50 dropped, what's the name of that first? Get Rich or Die Trying.
Get Rich or Die Trying, yeah.
Every car had that joint playing. Every car had that shit playing.
That shit was like when Biggie tape came out.
Yes.
Like when Biggie first album came out. That shit rocked a whole year in every car.
Yeah.
Redman was like that when he first came out. 50 was like that. His shit rocked everywhere you went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a cultural moment, mm-hmm. like when Doggy Style dropped. Right. You know what I mean? Like, everybody heard that. Like, it wasn't a regional thing.
You know, real quick, I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
shit was like that? And you remember this, because you was around when this shit was happening. Especially here in Philly, when the Rough Riders put out the first Rough Riders.
Oh, the Rough Riders. Yep, yep.
That shit was everywhere. It was crazy.
Dog, I rode to my prom listening to that record. Like, that yeah. was the record I rode to prom listening to.
That shit was it was inescapable. Whatever summer that was,
yeah,
you couldn't escape that shit.
Summer of 99, dog. That was 99 summer. Dog. When that shit dropped. I mean, it had the Eve joint. I got him in, and I think I'm calling love. It had the Jay-Z joint on there. Yeah, dog, that record ran. Yeah. So, like, there's certain things I don't know. Like, it may be down south, like, T.I. had a record that was like that. Like, mm-hmm. just culturally, like, was crazy. You know, and I know he was beefing with my man, the Leprechaun Bull, for a while.
He was. If that wasn't like the weakest shit to be engaged with, the nigga with the Lucky Charms album cover. Beefing with Bull.
Yeah. I know Rubber Band Man ran. Like that joint.
Yeah. Bring him out.
Yeah. Bring him out.
T.I. What's the shit? The Ain't I? Ain't I?
Yeah.
Do, 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 do.
He
like
had,
that shit would hit.
What you call it? The fucking MIA joint too.
Swagger Like Us.
Yeah, Swagger Like Us. Like, you know, he had joints. Like, don't get me, like, I definitely think like they're like because it's like hit for hit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and I definitely think I could see 50 Cent having a lot more faith in some of that like newer shit he's put out, being like, yo, this shit really bangs, and people going like, nope. Like that don't bang against this.
Yeah. I wonder. I've heard a few people bring this up when talking about this past week. Folks are saying that 50's music hasn't aged the same.
I can see that.
I think that now in 2020, hip hop culturally is very much Southern.
Uh-huh.
Sonically is very much Southern. The influence of Southern hip hop is everywhere in hip hop culture, just about. And I wonder if those T.I. records, they're like anthems, you know, they're optimistic sounding, you know what I mean? I'm thinking primarily like stuff like Bring 'Em Out. That shit sounds like it would fit. 50 Cent, Many Men was the shit. But it's also like grimy black shit.
Yes.
So I wonder if the generation that really decides this shit is like Liss's generation, folks who are like in their 20s on Twitter, they grew up on T.I. They grew up on 50 Cent, too. But they grew up on T.I. on, like, BT MTV. And I just wonder if that's going to play a part.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think there's definitely an aspect of, you know, and I think that's something we don't think about too all the time, is that, like, the Ludacris and Nelly battle is very similar, where it's like, you know, in our generation, it's like, yeah, you know, like, Ludacris was closer to at least, like, some stuff that we'd be into. Nelly wasn't, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, there's people that grew up and, you know, that fucking joint with Kelly Rowland was, like, the first song that, you know, they would sing to their first love and shit. Yeah. And, like, for us, that was not the wave. So I think there's those kind of aspects that play in. There's definitely a generational thing. But I don't know. I think 50 would be hard to beat in that. So I'm interested. I don't think it's official, though. Like, it never became official, right?
Yeah, I don't think 50... He might have responded. He responded to everything else on the fucking internet.
Yeah, I know he like released the a Crime Stoppers commercial that T.I. did.
We not talking about that, dog. We talking about music. We not talking about if this nigga snitched or if he worked with the police and shit.
Yeah.
But that's 50's, that's his character, though. You know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's a troll, dude. He's an internet troll.
Right. I don't think they officially agreed to do it. You know what I mean? I hope that they do. Think
me
it
too.
Fly.
We haven't had one, a real good one, in a while. I didn't really get engaged in the Jada and Fab joint. So,
yeah.
Why don't we start getting into some new music this week? Because we got a couple of joints.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you listen to anything new this week?
Yeah, I fucked with that. Apollo Brown and Che Noir, As God Intended.
Yeah,
is really fucking good. You know what I mean? Che Noir, she's like, I knew, like, I had heard her, you know what I mean, and knew she was ill. That song that she did with Black Thought that's on this record, when I heard that a few months ago and heard, like, how she was really, you know, Thought be, like, getting niggas out of here on their own song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When I was, like, kept coming back to her verse, I was like, oh, yeah, she's real ill.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's really, like, you know, sample-based beats. You know what I mean? Her kicking that shit. And it's like, real dope. It really, it feels like it could be a winter album.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Does have that feeling, yeah.
Some of it reminds me of, like, the first AZ, you know what I mean? Like, Royal Flush, shit like that. It's got kind of, like, that cinematic, like, street feel to it. But it's, you know, it's a summer album, but it feels like it could be some winter shit. Like, you gonna go back to it later.
Yeah, it's a hoodie album.
1,000%.
Shout out to Buffalo, yo, because Buffalo killing the game right now, dog. She from Buffalo.
Who would have fucking thought?
Yeah, right?
10 years ago. Who would have thought?
Yeah. No, 10 years ago, the only thing I thought about Buffalo was, like, the Bills. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, yeah, I really like this album. I really, really like this album. It's definitely, right now, it's on my short list of, like, records of the year.
I
really, really enjoy it. Yeah, Apollo Brown just destroys it. Shout out to Detroit. This is a really, really, really good album. If you folks haven't listened to it yet, As God Intended, go check that joint. They'll check that joint out.
Yeah, definitely rock with it.
I checked out Stove God Cook's joint, Reasonable Drought, came out back in March. And I know, like, Westside said he got him on the album partially because he said, like, this shit was a fucking banger and people didn't hear it.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Shout out to the homie Steve. He reached out to me and was like, yo, did you check that joint out yet? And I was like, nah, I plan to, though, because, like, I heard Westside talk about it. Mm-hmm. He was like, yo, I think you'll like it. So, like, I checked that out this week. I heard somebody wrote this. I don't remember who it was now. When I posted, I was listening to this. Somebody was like, yeah, who'd have thought I'd want to hear Pusha T over Loops? Because it's all produced by Rock Marcy. Whole project's released, produced by Rock Marcy. And Rock Marcy's killing it on these beats. It fucking beats like crazy. The one thing I will say, I think Stove God is very similar. And I mean, listen, man, he's talking about cookie coke, dog. Like, you know what I mean? He's actually talking about selling bricks. Yeah, and that isn't like a new inventive thing. But he has such a crazy, like, personality and energy, which I think is like the complete opposite of what Pusha has. Pusha is very like low monotone style rhymer, right? I think like Stove God is like this exuberant personality. You can hear it in his style, and like he's just like his style feels loud, if that makes sense in any way. He feels like, to me, kind of like a Busta Rhymes talking about selling coke, where his style is just like loud, like out there, like in your face type thing.
That's crazy you said that too, because I listened to one joint from this. I haven't gotten to the whole thing, and I got that same like animated feeling.
Yes,
but my man said he was with Busta Rhymes' camp.
Ah, word. Okay,
which kind of makes sense because Rock Marcy was too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's my man Prism, that's what he said. Like, yeah, he was fucking with Bus.
Okay. That, I mean, that makes sense. Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, I really like this joint. Again, this is another joint that might low key make my top 10. Like, I like this record a lot.
So much good shit. Like, I feel bad for motherfuckers who be like, oh, I can't find it. Man, you not tapped in. It's so much shit. It's overwhelming the amount of music that's just coming out.
Oh, definitely. There's a lot of shit. There's just a lot of really dope shit. There's shit that we don't get to touch on every week. I mean, we could do, there's legit, like, there's weeks where we could just do a new music whole episode of new music. I'm afraid of like we would run out of like things to talk, like not things to talk about, but like things to like really say about albums and shit like that. And I also don't want to be reviewing somebody's album and then we get on, you know, how we do, and end up on a tangent about like racial injustice in the middle of talking about somebody's album,
which would definitely happen.
Exactly. Also, I checked out Baldy James and Alchemist record, The Price of Tea in China.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking dope. Like, all these records this week are amazing. This record is just same way. This record is really, really good.
Word.
I like Baldy on the mic. Alchemist, you know, he's on a good tear right now. These beats are crazy. They're really lush and pretty. And what's dope is all three of these records have one solitary producer.
We going back to that, it seems.
Yeah.
I noticed some cats is different, you know, on the underground. Some cats either do that with just one producer, or they're still doing like multiples. But it seems like more people are just linking in with like one producer and creating a sound.
Yeah, I think that's really good, especially for artists who are like still building their rep, because it builds a it builds something familiar for people to go to. But yeah, this record, Baldy James and Alchemist, The Price of Tea in China, really good. Baldy is super nice on the mic, and Alchemist, I mean, you know, he's a legend for a reason, dog. Yeah, so
Alchemist is on a tear. I'm gonna edit this out. I was chatting with the boy. And he was saying they got a whole album with Alchemist.
Oh, for real?
Which I know when that shit come out.
Yeah.
That shit going, motherfuckers not gonna know how to react when that shit come out. I ain't hear nothing from it. He just mentioned, it was the last show I went to before quarantine. He just mentioned it. You know what I mean? He's like, hey, you know, our next joint is like all Alchemist beats. I was like, man, that shit is gonna be fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, my advice, go check out, ain't no new records out. Go check out all three of these records.
Yeah, fuck with all of these.
All three of these records are really, really good, man.
Yeah.
And other than that, man, we can wrap. You know, we do have the the YouTube channel now.
Hey, YouTube.
At Serious Rap Shit. That is up. So you can get, you know, you can check out. We got a couple videos up there. We're going to start doing some more stuff. The video I did this week that I posted, that's like a clip from the show, Instagram like took down. You know, fucking Universal Music Group like, you know, pulled that shit down. So like it's still on, like when you look at our page it looks like it's there, at least for me, but like I don't think it's there when you look at it through another channel. But it's still up on YouTube. You can go check it out there. I really liked the video. I was proud of what I did with it. It got my fucking 15-year-old's seal of approval. So like that's always you know what I mean?
Babies tell you, yo, it's cool, it's fucking cool.
Yeah. And it's basically from last week when we were talking about Kanye being president. So that's available. Go check that out. Like and subscribe there. You can find us on all the social medias at Serious Rap Shit. I'm Indy_SRS, INDI_SRS on Word. Instagram and Twitter. You are John_Liberator on Instagram and Twitter. Other than that, you know, they got the Abolish ICE shirts still out there.
Out here rocking.
Yeah.
Where I'm in quarantine, you know.
Exactly. With Incense Trap and Yoga. It's a black woman-owned business. So, like, you're supporting. Plus, you know, ICE got wild again this week where they're talking about deporting students because there's going to be no classes. They're going to deport students.
Yeah. Did you hear the shit that they're training private citizens?
Yes. To arrest immigrants.
Which
is going to lead to nothing but racial incidents, because as soon as they see a brown person, they're going to say you're an immigrant.
1,000%
And get the fuck out the country. So, yeah, ICE is wilding. We need to abolish ICE. Part of the proceeds for these shirts go toward helping families that were separated at the border. And they're going to go to all kinds of immigration issues now. Don't forget, there's kids in cages still.
Yeah.
You know, that's still going on. But, you know, other than that, you can check us out on all the different platforms. We'll be here with y'all next week with some more fire for that ass. Peace.
Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.